Here is going to be Lila Nishas, my grandmother, Rachel Bas Eliyahu Pinchas. Today is our Kamas Matzev. I'm going right afterwards. So the Neshama Shenev Aliyah.
Amen.
So let's begin number one. The Gemara talks about Masechah Shabbos, the second parak, which discusses all the halachas of Hanukkah. It discusses the basic question of the nature of halakas neros, whether it's the halakha osa mitzvah or the hanacha osa mitzvah. Is it the lighting that one fulfills the mitzvah, or is it a placing down of the menorah that accomplishes the mitzvah of Chanukah? So the Gemara concludes, this is on number one here, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph and Shabbos, Hashta Daminan Halakha Osa Mitzvah. The Gemara concludes that the lighting is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Chanukah. So Hedliku Cheresh Shoto V'Katan. Let's say one of these three who are not Bar Chiyuve, they are not Chayiv in mitzvahs, Lo Asav Lo Klum. If a child lights a Chanukah candle, if a Shoto or a Cheresh light a Chanukah candle, nothing has been accomplished, and there is no mitzvah. So the Ran comes along and quotes from the Baal Itter, and the Baal Itter says, "Im higia l'chinuch mutter." But if the child has reached the age of chinuch, so then it's permitted, one is able to, the child can light the Neres Chanukah. Now we're referring to really being motzi everybody else. Katan can certainly do anything he wants, but the question is, can he be motzi other people? So that's very clear from the Meiri. The Meiri writes in number three, that same daf, Me'ata malekas af lahotzi et ha'acherim, is referring to a woman, that a woman's allowed to light Neres Chanukah, we know, because af hein hayu ba'osa anes. So once we say that women are allowed to light Neres Chanukah for other people, so the Meiri brings two deos, v'yesh matirin bekatan im higil chinuch, a child who reached the age of chinuch, he could also be motzi others. Hol mitzvasa midivrei sofrim. Since the whole idea of Neres Chanukah is only a mitzvah midirabanan, so a katan can be motzi a gadol in the mitzvah midirabanan. That's the Gemara talks about. If a katan eats a certain shear, and in terms of benching, so as long as a katan and the gadol have the same level of chiyuv of a dirabanan, a katan can be motzi a gadol.
So is the reason the same as the nashim talk about afhem ayu ba'otanes? The katan was also
no katan comes because of chinuch, a mitzvah midirabanan of chinuch. So the again Neres Chanukah in general is only mitzvah midirabanan. Chacham also included women, afhem ayu ba'osa anes, but also only midirabanan. And katan come from a different angle because of chinuch. But exactly, it's all not different angle, but all the same idea of midirabanan. Same katan, and in the end, all midirabanan.
Why wouldn't you say by katan afhem ayu ba'osa anes? Also say.
Yeah, we never apply that to a katan. We only apply that to women. It certainly depends maybe on what how you understand afhem ayu ba'osa anes. If you assume afhein ayu be'osa nes is because the ikker nes was performed by them, Yehudis killed the general, so then that's not shach to ketanim. If you assume that they were included, that they were saved equally, so you're asking a very good question, but I guess you assume afhein ayu be'osa nes only applies to those who are above bar or bas mitzvah maybe. I'm not sure, I never saw anyone ask that question about ketanim. It's a good question though. But in the end of the day, the Meiri writes that since the chinuch, the chiyuv of ketanim, is only midirei sofrim, and the chiyuv of Chanukah in general is midivrei sofrim, a katan would be allowed to light on behalf of a gadol. That's his first opinion. But then the Gemara says that rather the Miri says ve'ein hadvarim nirim. He doesn't think that this is correct, and a katan should not be motzi a gadol, even if he gil echinach. So how do we paskin? Now the really reason why I want to discuss this sugya is because a couple weeks ago someone told me, a Svardi told me, that in his home he lights Neres Chanukah for himself, and all his kids light separately. And the problem is, as we're about to see, in this Svardim Paskin, that there should only be one menorah for the entire house. So then he wanted to know, how should I be mechanech my children? He suggested maybe I could light one, and my kids could light the other candles on one menorah. That was really the impetus for this discussion. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and how he deals with the shaila of whether or not a katan could be motzi a gadol or a katan cannot. So Shulchan Aruch writes in number four. This is Simon Tafresh Ayin Aleph in Hilchas Chanukah. He says, "Kama neros malik, how many neros do you light? Belaila harishon malik echad. The first night you light one. Mikan ve'elech mosif aholich echad b'cholayla. And each night you add an additional candle. So night two is two, night three is three. Ad shebelel acharon yihu shmona. Until the last night, there's a total of eight candles only. Ve'afilu imrabim b'nei habayis lo yaliku yoser. Even if there are 8, 10, 15, or even 2 people in the house. You only light 1 menorah, 1 through 8. That's it. Now, the interesting thing they point out here is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Tosos. This is Shitas Tosos. We're going to see the Ramah later on. Ramah Paskins, for all Ashkenazim, as we know, each person lights their own menorah, which is Shitas Rambam. So just an interesting phenomenon where the Ashkenazim are Paskining like the Rambam, to light multiple menorahs, and the Mechaber is passing like Tosos, who's the Ashkenazi world, that you only light one menorah for the entire house. So now in the house of a Svardi home.
That's the miracle.
There's one menorah for the house. That's it, one menorah, Zehu, for the entire family. That's the Shulchan Aruch Pesach. So right now we're living in the world, in the home of the Svardim. So now, can a Katan light that Ner Hanukkah for the entire house, for his father and for his mother and for his siblings? So Shulchan Aruch now elsewhere in Hilchot Chanukah writes in Tafresh Ayin Hey, Avalim Hidliku Cheresh Shotiv Katan Lo Asaklum. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara we saw earlier that a Katan cannot light the Neres Chanukah; you would have to relight it. A Gadol has to relight the Neres Chanukah. But then he quotes the Yesh Omrim, the Yesh Misha Omerik, the Katan Shegil Chinuch Mutter. If the Katan reached the age of Chinuch, so then he would be able to light for everyone else. So the Shulchan Aruch has two deis. So some say that the Katan can light the one menorah for the Svardi home, and others say the Katan is not allowed to light for the entire home. It has to be a Gadol. So those are two deis in Shulchan Aruch.
Are we talking about when there's one candle, or if there are eight, you really only need one anyway?
No, whatever you light, whatever you're lighting, the question is one person's doing the lighting. Who should be doing the lighting? Should a gadol be lighting, or should a katan be lighting? Whether it's one every night, or whether it's five for the fifth night, whatever amount you're lighting, there's one person lighting. So who should be doing the lighting? The katan, or it can't be a katan, has to be a gadol. So Shulchan Aruch brings two deis here.
No, but I'm just asking.
I'm telling you, it doesn't make. I understand.
It's not day one.
Fine, let's go weiter.
Can't you solve everything?
Shulchan Aruch writes. Shulchan Aruch writes number 6. Katan shegil lechinuch tzarech lahalik. He writes that you need to, a katan needs to light. Tzarech lahalik. This is very strange. He writes, tzarech lahalik. We just said before that there are two deyas, whether or not the katan's allowed to or not allowed to. It's a question of, is he permitted to? Can he light? But then the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Chanukah, Taf Reish Ayin Zayin, the katan shegi lechinuch tzarech lahalik. Doesn't make any sense. Why would he ever have to? The question is he allowed to? Not that he has to. So it's a strange answer, but there's no other way around it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, number 7. The Fimasha Pasuk HaMechaber, look at number 7 here, B'simen Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Siv Beis, Da'afilo HaMajim Nahajun Ein Malikin Rak Ner Echad L'chol Anshei Bayis. There's only one menorah for the entire house. So why would the katan have to light it? So that means if a guy doesn't have a katan in the house, so a guy has a 6-year-old boy. So the 6-year-old boy has to light it, and the father's not allowed to light it. It doesn't make any sense. Rak Mosifin Beholchin Becholyom Ner Echad Yoser. Al Karchach says in the Shabura, and this is quoting the Magen Avraham, Myri Kan Shekotan Hazeh Yeshla Bayis Bifnei Atzmo. He has his own house. He lives by himself. So if the Katan's living in my home, the Katan doesn't light it. I light it. I'm the Gadol. Or maybe I can let him light it. Depends on whether he's allowed to. The only time a Katan needs to light for himself, his Tzarech, is if he lives by himself. Which is, of course, a very unlikely circumstance. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So in the end of the day, we have right now that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there are machlokes, whether a katan who lives with his parents, whether he's allowed to or not allowed to, but he certainly doesn't have to. You don't have to make him light it on behalf of the parents. He may be able to, may not be able to. So that's right now where the Shulchan Aruch says. Two deis. We'll see how to paskin in just a moment. Now look at number 8 now. Number 8, we're going to jump to Hilchos Megillah Upurim. When it comes to reading the Megillah, number 8, says the Mechaber, let's read the beginning of it. Echad akore v'echad ashameya min akore, one who reads, one who listens, yatzi dechavaso. If whether you're reading the Megillah on your own, or whether you're listening, all of us are always listening, you get the same, you fulfill your mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. V'hu sheyishma mimi shehu chayev b'kriyasa. You have to hear from someone who's chayev in a kriya. If you're hearing from a katan, you're not yotzi the mitzvah. L'fikach im haya hakore cheresh o katan o shote Hashemeya mimenu lo yata. If there's a katan, a 10-year-old boy who's reading, very nice, a laner, it's beautiful, but he's not a bar chiyuva. So if you listen to him reading, you're not going to fulfill your mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. That's the Shulchan Aruch paskind like in Hilchas Megillah. What's the kasha? How come when it comes to Megillah, he says unequivocally, the katan cannot be motziu? When it came to Hilchas Chanukah, it is two days. One opinion says the katan can't be motziu, but then he does quote another opinion that says the katan can be motziu by Lakas Neiris Chanukah. Why doesn't he bring that daya here in Shulchan Aruch by Hilchas Megillah?
With candles, it's lighting and seeing. The question is the mitzvah lighting or seeing? The mitzvah seeing, it wouldn't matter as much, right?
Not seeing, it's almost, but not quite. Exactly. Chovas bias, chovas gavra, which is kind of like what you're saying, but chovas gavra, chovas bias, which is what? We'll read aside in the Sfas Emes in just a moment, but I'll say it outside first. There's a big machlokas that Gemara says in Shabbos, ner ish ubesa, the candle for the person and the candle for the house. And they use that phrase to raise the following chakira: is the candle incumbent upon each person, the ish, to chovas gavra, I have to light it? Or is it about chovas habayis, is it that the house has to be lit? There has to be a lit menorah, you're saying, to see, there has to be a candle that's lit in the bayis. That's the shaila. So let's say in a different way. Is it about the maisa halakha, or the gavra has to perform a maisa, or there has to be a halakha that it's hudlak, that the bayis, there's a lit candle, it's more about the goal, the outcome. So maisa versus outcome, maisa versus totsah. So the nafkamina that's always brought down whenever it's a question of maisa versus totsah is you need a kavana. Kavana is almost always the nafkamina. If you need to perform a maisa, so then the maisa I need to have, whoever, even for myself, I am doing a mitzvah. So if it's about very maisa oriented, so then I need to have kavana that I'm doing a mitzvah. Shaking a lulav is about a maisa, not about any outcome. I need to have kavana, I'm shaking the lulav. Let's say building a makkah. I have a rooftop that's flat. I need to build a fence, a makkah, around it. So it's not about a building of the makkah, it's about having it fenced in. So even if I didn't have kavana of building it, I didn't know the mitzvah existed.
Oh, you hired and the contractor.
That's a whole other shiloh, but let's say I didn't know the mitzvah existed, so I had no kavana. But in the end of the day, my roof is fenced off. I fulfill the mitzvah of makkah even though there's no kavana. Because it's not about a ma'is binyan, it's about being protected and safety and fenced in. So here as well, if you assume that Ner Chanukah is about Ner Ish, to mitzvah on the gavra to perform a maisa, so then you need a kavana. A katan doesn't have kavana. He's not capable of kavana, even though he might be intelligent. We don't acknowledge his kavana of being anything. He can't be motzimi. But if Ner Chanukah is about having a candle lit in the house, so whoever accomplishes it could create a Ner that's lit. So let's read that inside in the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says number 10, Nira liyashiv disfirle laharan. De be'emes halashon mitzvah chanukah ner ishu beisa mashma. De eino tzarech hamalik lechavein lehotzi kol bnei bayis. The one lighting does not need to have kavana to light or kavana to be motzi others. Va mitzvah hurak lios ner ba bayis. There just has to be a candle in the house. Kamo mezuzah. Mezuzah is a great example. There has to be a mezuzah on my house. If I buy a house that already has a mezuzah, I fulfill my mitzvah mezuzah. I didn't hang it up. I didn't bang it in. Doesn't make a difference. I need to have a mezuzah on my Pesach HaBayis. Va'filu acher she'eno mibnei bayis malik ner Chanukah. Some guy, my neighbor, goes in and lights my Chanukah for me, that I have a ner in my house. I have accomplished the mitzvah. Or kovei mezuzah, it's kasher. Ella, the only caveat is the tzarech lios halakha mi bar chiyuva. If my non-Jewish neighbor, I don't have him, but let's say a non-Jew goes into my house and he lights my Neir's Chanukah, that wouldn't work. It has to be a bar chiyuva. That's the starting off point. But I don't have to appoint him. He doesn't have to have kavana. Has to come from a bar chiyuva, and so long as there's a Neir lit in my house.
But you said a child is not a bar.
Very good. Look at the next line. Excellent. To be a giyah lechinach kevin de mechuyav hu Shapir mikre ner mitzvah v'yotzinbo. A hakatan hegila chinuch is considered a bar chiyuva. If he reached the age of chinuch, he's chayiv. He just lacks the ability to be moti. Doesn't have kavana, no proper kavana. So he's kind of in the middle, where he's chayiv, doesn't lack the kavana. So since the Sfas Emes says that the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah is on the bias, a katan shegil achinuch, it might be, that's machlokis, he might be able to light on behalf of the rest of the family. But when it comes to Megillah, which is about the Maisa Kriya, you need kavana for the Maisa Kriya, so then a katan does not have the ability to be motzi others because he lacks the ability to be mechavin. And that's the answer of the, yeah.
According to this, Evik Nani would be allowed to light it for you.
Evik Kanani would be able to. That's an interesting question. Evik Kanani. So, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember right now that as you ask the question. Evik Kanani's chayven mitzvah is la la. The pasuk says, "Kzer shal la la." Whatever. Woman's chayven. Evik Kanani's chayven. Now there are certain things that doesn't apply to that. Things that are unique to women wouldn't necessarily carry over. What do I mean? So the halacha is the Mishnah and Kedushin Daf Chavtes says that there are five yisurim that don't apply to women. Three yisurim that don't apply to women. Hakafas Rosh, Hakafas Zakan, and Tumas Kohanim. Kohenis is allowed to be metame. So now the question becomes, so now if a, does an Evik Kanani, is allowed to cut his beard with a razor? Women are allowed to. Could an Evik Kanani cut the beard? Could he cut his pes because women are allowed to? So they say things that are gender unique, so then it wouldn't apply. That's the women. Evik Kanani is not a woman. He's chayv in mitzvahs, but anything that's related to women or not. So I don't remember if this is discussed, but af heinayu beosanei, since it's unique to women, I don't know if that would bridge over to Evik Kanani as well. I'm just talking out loud. I don't know. But if they would be chayv in it, in a chanami, they would be el to b'motzi, yeah.
Just going back to what's the obligation of Chanukah, isn't it just really one candle?
Yeah, they're different levels. They're different. Yeah, they're different levels. One.
So, so then, wouldn't you just the first night you'd say sorry, Kindleach, I have to do it. The second night you light one, and then the other candles could be for the children.
So that's the discussion we're going to get. That's what I mentioned in the beginning. Whether that's really allowed, we'll get to that in just a moment. So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. How the Mishnah Berurah paskins. I don't know how the Sfarim paskim, but this is a Chavetz Chaim's understanding of the Sfardi psak. You tell me if it's otherwise. In number 11, he writes. Bishabura in Simon Tafresh Ayin Hey, Lefima Shesasim HaMechaber B'Simon Tafresh Peites. That's Hilchas Megillah. The Chavetz Chaim doesn't go with the Sfas Emes' understanding. He's basically asking the question, how come in Hilchas Megillah the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the idea that Katan can be Motzi the Gadol in Mikra Megillah? So Bishabura concludes, it must be Mashma De Lamaisa Ein Lismoch. The fact that in Chanukah he quotes two dayas, whether Katan can be motzi the family, but in Megillah he doesn't quote a second daya, tells me that he paskins l'maisa that Katan should not be motzi anyone. He's not being mechayik between Hilchas Purim, Hilchas Chanukah. He doesn't like that chiluk. It's all the same halacha. And again, the fact that in Hilchas Megillah he doesn't mention that a katan shegil achinuch can be motzi, he paskins you should not let a katan be motzi the family. So right now where we stand, in the house, a Sfardi home, a katan, even hegil achinuch, according to the Chavetz Chaim, should not light the menorah for everyone else. Anyone ever hear anything different about that point? Any of the Sfardim? There are a few Sfardim here now. Nothing. Okay. So next question is, David's question is that what about having the katan, rather the gadol light the first one? And then a katan, I think we mentioned this in the Mishnah Berurah here, and the gadol lighting the first one and having his children light the remaining candles on the different nights. So that's based on the following Shulchan Aruch, whether that's allowed or not allowed. Look at number 12. The halacha there is talking about lighting in shul. Our practice is not like this. The Ramah actually says it. The Ramah, so understanding was, whoever is davening Mincha Mariv, he also lights the Neres Chanukah. Now, we don't have that in our shul, I don't think. Usually someone else lights it. But back then, they had the Indian of the Sheikh Tzibur daven Mincha. He'd take a pause, go light the Neres Chanukah, and then afterwards, he'd go daven Mariv. So let's say the Rama writes in number 12. Im rotzin lemaher lispalel acha shebirach hashliach tzibur, v'hir lekech amem. They're in a rush. They want to go home. So they don't want to wait all, like, you know, candles from to light. One, it takes a few moments. And they're in a rush to get home. They're hungry for dinner. So they want to have him, you light the first one, say the bracha, the shliach tzibur.
Go back
and start marv, hurachim, or shir malos, and then let some other guy, the gabbai, finish the rest of the candles. Is that allowed? So says the Rama, number 12, yachal hashamish lehalik hanisharim. The shamish is allowed to light the remaining candles to allow the shliach tzibur to go yispal, to go say marv. So we see that you can be mechalik between the first candle, the bracha, and the remaining candles. So look what the Magen Avraham writes, though. Number 13, he says, Aval beveso, in one's own house, tzarech hu lahalik kulam. You have to light all of them. You cannot mechalik between the first one and the remaining ones. You must light all of them, the balabayas. But he then quotes from the Shitas of the Maharshal. The Maharshal writes in a tshuva, he thinks, Gam bibeso rashai la'asos kein. He thinks, just like in a base knesses, you could split between the first candle and the remaining ones. He thinks the same thing holds true when it comes to the house. You can have the gadol light the first one and the children or wife or whoever else to light the remaining ones. And he brings an interesting raya. He brings a raya from the halachas of Yom HaKippur, Avodas Yom HaKippur. What's the halacha there? So the Gemara tells us in Yuma that Ein Avodas Yom HaKippur Kasher Ela Bo, only with the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol must do every single stage of the Avoda. Now there is a machlokas, a complete side point right now, that does that apply to only those karbanos that are unique to Yom HaKippur? Or what about those karbanos that are generic? Karban Tamid is brought every single day. Does he have to even do the Karban Tamid of Yom HaKippurim? Or no, only the unique Avodas Yom HaKippurim Karbanos. We paskin that he has to do everything, Karban Tamid. So the Gemara, the Mishnah describes what happens. He shechs the Karban. He shechs the animal. Now, that's the first thing of doing a Shechita. What's the next step after Shechita? Kabbalah Sadam. So now, that's pretty impressive. The Kohen Gadol to shecht it and then catch the blood, because it's halacha, you have to catch every drip of blood. Usually, in a regular Shechita, one Kohen shechts it, another Kohen catches it. To have the same guy to do it and quickly catch it, that's very impressive. Now, Kohen Gadol did a lot of hard things, but that's impossible to do. You're going to miss blood. So what the Gemara says is, which is also hard, the Kohen Gadol shechs it, somehow he passes it to another Kohen standing right behind him to finish the Shechita, where the Kohen Gadol takes the, you know, pulls out the kli right there and catches all the blood with right hand, and all that's being accomplished. Some juggling act. So we see from here, though, the Kohen Gadol starts the Shechita, and another Kohen finishes the Shechita, and we see that you're allowed to take one mitzvah and split it between two people. That's his suggestion. That's the suggestion of the Maharshal. So too, in the house, if one person, the father, lights the first candle, you could pass it on to the others to light the remaining candles. Now, the Eli Rabba says it's a very strange raya, because he writes in number 14, Behasam, the Gemara Yuma, Efshar, Shigmar Kohen Gadol, Shetzarech Lekabel Dam. It's impossible any other way. The Kohen Gadol has to finish the Shechita, then he can't do the Kabbalah Sadam. So the Makom Efshar, so then you allow the Kohen Hedyot to help finishing the Shechita. But in the case of a house, it's not a Makom Efshar. I don't need to have my children light it. I could certainly do it on my own. So that's not a Raya, that you're allowed to split up a mitzvah in parts like that. Which itself is a very interesting concept. In other applications, can you split up a mitzvah?
But how much of a mitzvah is it to light the other ones? It's really a mitzvah just like the first one, no?
You know, in Echanami. But we'll see in a moment, there's a connection between the additional mitzvahs and the first one. I'll mention that just a moment. But it comes up something that, this is slightly different, I guess, but Mike and I, we used to lay in Megillah in Frisch, and we split up the Aliyahs, the Prakim rather. So I had Zion and Ches. I think you had Tess and Yud, you had 9th and 10th? You won 2? Oh, may your brother had 9 and 10? Anyway, we split up one of the Minyanim, we had 2 Prakim, 2 Prakim, 2 Prakim, 2 Prakim, we split everything up. Or let's say laying a regular Shabbos, splitting up the Aliyahs, is that allowed? So that's all dependent on this discussion, whether you're allowed to split up mitzvahs or not split up mitzvahs. So the Magen Avraham quotes 2 days. Eli Rabba just doesn't like the Raya. He doesn't say he's against the Halacha. He just doesn't like the proof from the Gemara and Yuma, because there the Kohen Gadol has no other choice. And now the other point, what you were pointing out, is that I mentioned this the other night in the Mishnah Berurah Shir, that there's a Brisker Rav on the Rambam that talks about how connected does the Hiddur Mitzvah have to be to the actual Maisa Mitzvah. So we were discussing that the Rambam and Tur have a machlokas, how to read the Gemara on Shabbos. When it comes to doing a Bris Milah on Shabbos, there's something called Tzitzin HaMa'akvin and Tzitzin She'enu Ma'akvin. You have some part of the foreskin which is Ma'akiv the Milah. If you remove the Arla and there's still enough left to consider a Pasal Milah, so then on Shabbos you have to go back and remove it. That's called Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. There's some foreskin that prevents the mitzvah from being chal. But let's say there's some tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. There's some of the arlo that's left over. That's not ma'akiv, but it's a bit hider mitzvah. It makes it more mehuder. So that, the halach is, you cannot go back and remove the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin on Shabbos. It's an isra of chavala. After Shabbos, you could fix it, but not on Shabbos itself. So what's the difference? Why not? If I could do it in a regular milah, why can't I do it? If I'm doing a milah, I could do the whole thing. I could do the tzitzin ma'akvin, tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. Okay. The moment I separate from it, it's always hiddur. The titin shein makvin is always hider. So the Mishka Rav explains, while you're doing the Maisa Mila, even though you got most of it off already, you could still finish everything else off, even though that's not makiv anymore, it's hider mitzvah, as long as the hider mitzvah is attached to the Maisa mitzvah, it's all allowed. But the moment you've perished, the Rambam says, you've separated, you've stepped away, then you cannot do the hidden mitzvah. It's no longer considered hidden mitzvah anymore once you've stopped doing the mitzvah. It has to be connected to the ma'aseh mitzvah. So part of this calculation here is, if the father is lighting the first candle, and the remaining ones are only hidden mitzvah, by passing it off to the children, that's a chilek in hidden mitzvah. Maybe it's not viewed as hidden mitzvah anymore once it's over. It's like, let's say I'm lighting a candle now, then an hour later I light the second candle. Is that a kiyum of hidden mitzvah? There's been a big disconnect between the first mitzvah and the second candle.
That would be only if you consider it chovat gavra. If it's chovat abayit, so it shouldn't make a difference.
Excellent. I think it's a great point. Very good point. You have to assume it's most likely you have to assume it's a maisa, a mitzvah in the maisa, which for bris milah is also the same shaila. That's the same discussion of whether the maisa milah is the mitzvah or being mahu. That's the famous story in Gemara Menachos, David HaMelech. He was so upset, he was in the bathhouse, he had no mitzvahs left. He remembered his milah, and he was, I have this mitzvah at least. They ask, what do you mean? The milah took place when he was 8 days old, not when he was 35 years old. The answer is that even when a person's in mahul, that's considered a key mitzvah. So if it's if it's very much totsa-oriented, so it's always going to be a hidden mitzvah. But if it's maisa-oriented, maisa-focused, then you're right. This whole understanding only makes sense in that world of maisa-focused. I think you're right. Great point.
How long does it have to be burning? Because my mother said that in the Sephardic house, my grandfather, I don't know if it's right or wrong, he used to put them out and let them relight it.
Yeah, so that's another discussion, different topic, but the simple answer is 30 minutes after the Zman Halakha. That's all. Chatzi Shah. So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, what he writes, number 15. Halakha L'maisa. Are you allowed to have a gadol light the first candle and then give it to your children to light the remaining candles? So number 15, Mishnah Berurah writes, this is a sif called the Memtes, Yuchal Shamish, Da Bracha Chal Al Ha'echad, Shehidlik. The Bracha, when the Shleach Tzibur says it on the first candle, Dehi Iker, that works. Vashar Einu Ela Hidr Mitzvah Ba'alma. The remaining ones are only a mitzvah Hidr. V'hu Adin, Bevesa, the same halacha applies in the house that you can split it up. However, Kishim is Damein Lo Eza Davar Nochat. It's only when there's some outside reason. So if there's another reason, so then yuchal ha'acher l'hashlem b'shvilo. The father has to run out to an important meeting to catch a minyan to a shir. I can't stay for him. I'm lighting the first one. Here, you do the rest of them. That's a certain need. That's when it's allowed. But how do you define a davar nachat? What's considered a necessary thing to allow someone else to do it? So someone the other night pointed out he has a svardi mishnah berurah, which has all the ben ish chai, psakim, and kaf ha'chaim, everyone else. Apparently, the Ben Yishchai says an example of davar nachutz is something chinuch for a child. He gives the chinuch. He passes into the Ben Yishchai that you are allowed to light the first one and give the kids the remaining candles to light.
The nafkamina would be on this case if you have older kids. You want them involved as well, so they're not the age of chinuch anymore. So that you wouldn't give it to them, you'd not give it to the kohen.
That's a great point. Also, very good point. So there's another discussion. Is there a concept of chinuch from someone who's over the age of chinuch? Could you be mechanech a child when he's 13 years old anymore? Does it exist? So it does exist still to a certain extent, not the same level. But I would even add further, even if it doesn't exist, it's still the Indian of him being part of that mitzvah, even though it's not a chinuch, I imagine it would still be certain a level of involvement would be considered a davar nachat, I think. But I think it's a great point. Should you give your younger child before the older child? Great, great point. Great question. I don't know. I don't have to find this out. I have an Ashkenazi home. But for you, if you find out the answer, let me know. It's certainly intriguing. Okay, that's all for the house of the Sephardi. Let's now move to the house of the Ashkenazi, where we paskin differently. The number 17, the Rama writes, Ule didan, according to our practice in Ashkenaz, dechalechad mibnei habayis malik b'fnei atmo, each child lights on his own, or each person lights on his own. So then, katan shegila chinuch tzarech lahalik gamke. We know everyone lights, all children, even children that are below the age of chinuch. How do you define the age of chinuch? So it always depends on the mitzvah that you're talking about. So we're talking about lighting a candle. So it's probably an older age. You know, I let my son Yeshaya, who's 10, I let him light matches. He likes to light the match for Havdalah. So 10. My 8-year-old Zevi, I don't let him light the match yet. So in theory, the Zevi's and certainly Yisrael Meir, who's only 5. Certainly, they're not the age of chinuch yet. So there's no need to let them light. But at the same time, you involve them anyways. We hold this hand with the candle together. So even though those were younger than chinuch, you don't have to, but they're still certainly encouraged to get involved. But once a child reached the age of chinuch, that's called 10, so then there's a mitzvah, tzarech lahadlik gamkim. So everyone has their own menorah in the house. Now, as a side point, we mentioned this also in the shir, that it's ideal if a person has the space and windows, each one should have their own place for it. Because if you drive by a house, the whole goal is for the Pesumah Nisa. If I drive by, I see 25 candles lit. Well, that can be really possible. 24 makes more sense. Does it make sense? Yeah, I think so. So then it would be, it only makes sense. No one knows what night it is. It's confusing. So many candles. So each menorah should have a its own space to light the Neres Chanukah, if it's possible. In my house, it's not possible. We only have really one window that faces it. But if you have more windows, it's ideal to have them spaced out more. So look where the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 18 now. Aval didan dinahaginan shekol echad tzarech lehader ulehalik b'fnei atzmo. Nowadays, where everyone lights on their own, imkain gam hakatan has a tzarech b'chol gavni lehalik b'fnei atzmo. The katan also needs to. But listen to this fascinating shita. Aval das hashilti giburim v'meiri da'afilu lididan ein tzarech lechanech hakatan lehalik b'fnei atzmo imlo sheyesh lebayis b'fnei atzmo. Says the Meiri, there is no obligation to be mechanech a child for Neres Chanukah. Why would that be? If the child has his own home, so then you're mechanech him, light a candle in your own house. But if you're living in my house, you're not lighting a candle. Now, why would the Meiri say that? Isn't there a mitzvah of chinuch? But everyone has. But why is my older son and my older daughter, they're lighting? Why not my younger one?
You have to own a house. Maybe that's part of the mitzvah.
My daughter doesn't own the house. My son doesn't own my house.
No, you just said that they don't do it. You're asking for...
No, an older one, a 15-year-old son, 15-year-old daughter. They were light. They don't own my house. I own my house. They don't own it. So why would my 15-year-old son and daughter perhaps light, but not the 10-year-old son? Isn't there a mitzvah of chinuch for them? So look what the Be'er Lacha explains in number 19.
Stay away from
he says, D'nehi d'mechuv l'chancho. Granted, there's a mitzvah to mechanech children. When there's an obligation on the father, so when it's a hider mitzvah, there is no obligation. You're only mechayev to mechanech children to do mitzvahs, not to be mehader mitzvahs. That's why there's something called a chinuch set from buying dal minim. People think dal mina means you buy them a fake set. That's incorrect. You're not yod to the mitzvah if you buy them a lulav that's split and an esrog gets a lemon. Has to be kosher. What it means, a chinuch set, is if the purpose in selling to you is honest, it means that he's selling you a set that doesn't have hider. It's not the prettiest esrog. It's not the prettiest lulav, but it has to be kosher. So the reason why you don't have to be mechanich the children is because this is only a mitzvah of hider. You're not mechanech in hider, you're only mechanech in actual kiyum mitzvahs.
But isn't there a mitzvah for one and the rest are hider?
So that's a very good question. So it sounds like each person has their own, in the Ashkenazi home, each person has, I have my own chiyuv to do one. And he should also have a chiyuv to do one. But,
right.
What?
That's also mechanech.
Exactly. So the point is that the real mitzvah is one per house. That's the mitzvah. Mahajan level one now, baseline is, one candle for the house. That's baseline. Mahajan 1 is one candle per person. Mahajan level 2 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 for every single person. So the real mitzvah, Mikra Din, even for the Ashkenazim, is one candle for the entire house. So that's a hider to have him light his own candle, and that's why the Miri says there's no mitzvah of hider, of chinuch.
The order of hider is everybody.
Exactly. So now look at the very fascinating psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Number 20, he says, "V'nirli dilakatan ein tzarach lahachmir kulehai." When it comes to be mechanech your children, don't be so machmir. V'dai sheyalik becholayla rak ner echa lechuliyama. Just light one candle. So while I'm lighting 1, 2, 3, 4, my son just lights 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 every single night. So what's the kasha in this sheet of the Mishnah Berurah? He just said before there's no mitzvah of hider mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of chinuch and hider. So either there is a mitzvah hider, in which case the child should do mahajim and mahajim, do 1 through 8, or there's no mitzvah hider, he shouldn't have to do everything. Why is he saying, if you're doing cheder, do the middle one. Do the mahajan level, which is one every single night. Either, what? Miri says there's no mitzvah at all for any hither, which means there's no Indian of chinuch for the son any night. If I'm lighting, so I've already fulfilled the ikar mitzvah, I don't have to have him light. If there is a mitzvah of hither, so let him do mahajan and mahajan, let him do 1 through 8. So Baal Batish answer would be that it's expensive. Right, it's expensive, so why waste so much money? Not waste. Why use so much money to have him do mahajim and mahajim? So I saw a very interesting explanation in the Nasiach B'chukecha. Nasiach B'chukecha is Rav Avi Leibowitz, or Ari Leibowitz, his older brother, had to say for Nasiach B'chukecha. And he addresses this question, and he suggests as follows. He thinks that level one mahajim, that there's one candle for every single person in the house, is actually a mitzvah on the Bahabayas. It's not a mitzvah on the chinuch of the child. If I'm doing level one mahajan, the level baseline is one candle every night for the family. That's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Night five, one candle for the entire house. Mahajan level one is one candle each night for the family member. So I've got seven in my house. So night one is seven, night two is seven, night three is seven, night four is seven, because those are the members of people in my house. So that's the first level that he's talking about. That's my chiv, not my child's chiv. That's my chiv as the Baal Bayis. I need to light corresponding to the amount of people in my house. And that's not a hidden mitzvah on the katan. That's my mitzvah of a hidden mitzvah for me. But once you take it to mahajin, min a mahajin, that each person lights 1 through 8, 1 through 8, 1 through 8, that's a mitzvah that goes on the child. And the child is a chayv in hidder. So that's why you don't have to do for the child 1 through 8. But you do have to do one candle at least for him, because that mitzvah is not on the katan. That's my hidden mitzvah as the Baal HaBayis. So he's mechalik about the different levels of mahajin, which falls upon the Baal HaBayis, and which ones fall upon the child himself. That's, I thought, a very interesting chiluk. He doesn't bring any rias for it. I think there are rias for this, but he didn't bring it through any. I'm not going to go through right now. We'll finish with the last piece of famous Chassam Sofer about girls. The daughters have to light. So it's a very interesting Chassam Sofer. Many people don't like this Chassam Sofer, but in essence he says that since Neres Chanukah was meant to be lit outside, even though nowadays we don't, at least in Chutz La'aretz, and women, it's not appropriate for women to step outside, that's the controversy, so therefore, since women don't go outside, so they shouldn't be lighting the candles. Ah, nowadays we light inside, the tekana still holds, and women don't light. That was the practice. It's not true of all homes. There are many homes where the girls do in fact light, but again, that's the overwhelming opinion in the postgame, that girls have the practice of not lighting, but they certainly are allowed to if they want to.
Those homes and neighbors, if you look around, that people light outside also.
In here? Yeah. Okay, fine. We'll stop here. Next week, I'm not sure what we're doing, something on Hanukkah. And the following week, we'll take a break for Hanukkah itself.